What if you thought you were a child of God, but in the end, you get to the judgment throne of God, and he just rejects you and sends you to the lake of fire? That's a scary thought, but it's one of most, I would say, most so-called Christians rarely ponder. They kind of think to themselves, because I go to church, I'm all right with God and things of that nature. So today what I'll be talking about is the 20 signs you might be a child of Satan. And just to ask the question, are you really born again? I'm doing this talk because it's a lot of people deceived. The church system has been corrupted for a very long time, and it's been teaching people that they're all right with God just as long as they go to church. We're going to go over the signs that you are probably or may not be a child of God. And so this is important for you to examine yourself to see if these things apply to you. And of course, if more of them apply to you, then you're in danger. I want to go over some scriptures because God tells us to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 says, "Examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith." So this is something we ought to be doing on a periodic basis. We got to check ourselves. Now, what I really was trying to say was that you can be born again, but if you lose your faith, that you're still going to hell if you stop believing what God says and doing what he says. So that's the problem with it. So we have to check if we are, if our faith is genuine, if we believe God, if we trust God, do we still trust God? Do we still believe him? The second thing, it's in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, "Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons." We're in that time now. People have turned away from the faith. They don't believe what God says anymore. They believe something else. Yet they're still in the church building. They got a pastor who's telling them this stuff. They seem to be all right with God. They're in a congregation full of other people who believe the same thing. But does what you believe align with Scripture? And a lot of times when you look at it, you'll see that it doesn't. We combat a lot of that on this website. We talk about what the church teaches and what the Bible teaches. So because this is what's happening, we're in the latter days. There are doctrines of demons out there that got men thinking they're all right with God. This is why I'm bringing this up, because you could be deceived. So here's another scripture. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. It says, "Preach the word of God, be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want them to hear." We're in that time. And so you may have a whole congregation and the pastor's up there teaching people, but it's stuff they want to hear. He's giving them stuff they want to hear. And you might be like, "Yeah, this feels good." Like Joel Osteen tell people what they want to hear. T.D. Jakes tell people what they want to hear. Creflo Dollar tell people what they want to hear. A lot of these women pastors are telling people what they want to hear. And you thinking that's all right because the pastor's saying it. Everything's cool. They have a Bible scripture to support it. I think everything's fine. No, we're living in a time where they lying. They giving people whatever the hell they want to hear in exchange for money, usually. This is what these people are doing. So, you know, they're greedy about money. So they're going to tell people whatever they want to hear to continue to get that money to flow through and to continue to keep those groups of people deceived. And so this is why I'm doing this message, because there's so many people who are not born again who think they are, and they go to church and they think they're all right because their pastor said so, and their pastor's lying to them. Here's another scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and perform many works in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" Look at that. Jesus is telling people, y'all got the Spirit of God. Y'all got born again. Some of y'all got born again. Y'all had the power of God flowing through you. You were able to cast out spirits. You were prophesying, working miracles. But yet you were practicing sin too. So if you keep doing that, he says here, only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter in heaven. And he mentioned that never, and then when those people came to him and said, but we did these things, he says, look, get away from me. I never knew you. You break God's laws. So it's very plain. Okay, if you start breaking God's laws and not doing what God says and think, well, because I got some good works flowing through me, I got some gifts that God gave me, I'm all right. No. You need to continue with God and allow him to work through you. And that's how you're saved. But if you, like I said, continue to break God's laws, Jesus said, you won't be getting in. You won't inherit the kingdom of God. So this is pertaining to people who are born again, because obviously you can't have these things without the Spirit of God. You can't prophesy without the Spirit of God. He didn't say to anybody in this passage, you didn't really prophesy. You didn't really cast those spirits out. You didn't really do those miracles. He didn't debate them on that. He talked about the sin they were performing. So it's possible for you to have the Spirit of God that gives you gifts, like the gift of prophecy, that gives you the power to cast out spirits and to work miracles. We know scripture that teaches that, that just shows that we can do those things if the Spirit of God is empowering us. And yet we also practice in sin. See, the Bible says the gifts of God are without repentance. In other words, he don't take the gift back. He'll give you a gift. You can use it, but then you can use it. You can be in sin on the other side. So just because you got the gift don't mean, oh, you cool with God for the rest of your life. No, you got to stay with him for the rest of your life. Get away from sin, walk in his Spirit, and overcome the lust of your flesh. So that's just, it's right there. It's right there in passage. So this whole once saved, always saved, none of that. That's foolishness. They set you up for failure. Okay? Another scripture, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. It says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Another version says, do not be deceived. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols, who commit adultery, who are male prostitutes, who practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, abusive people who cheat, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. He's saying, don't be deceived. Why? Because a pastor will deceive you and tell you you're still all right with God, even though you're practicing these things. It's all right. Committed adultery. You married to somebody. You still, but you got a former wife still alive, but you married to your second wife. You're a homosexual choir director. God's all right with you. No, he's lying to you. He's deceiving. If you like that, and he's saying right there, don't be deceived. Why? Because there's a pastor that's going to tell you you're all right with God. You're not all right with God. You're in danger. So you need to repent and come out of that lifestyle. Get rid of that second wife. Stop stealing, as it says here, thieves and greedy people and drunkards and abusive people who are cheating. A lot of these pastors are abusive to their congregation. You cannot practice that and enter the kingdom of God. The scripture is clearly telling us that. They don't study these scriptures. They don't tell you that. They deceive you and tell you you're all right with God. As long as you keep coming to church, tithing, being a faithful participant, you're even better if you got a position. Maybe you're a deacon. Maybe you run Sunday school or something like that. Maybe you're on the prayer team, the prayer warrior team. You go to every Tuesday night Bible study. You have prayer night on Monday. You go to church on Sunday. You're a faithful attendee. You're tithing. That's what makes you right with God. That's what your pastor is telling you. But he's not saying you need to be humble. You need to be honest. You need to have the character of Christ. He's not telling you that. And that's what's going to get you in. But he's giving you a list of works that make you think you're all right with God. So we need to be in the truth regarding what pleases God and what's acceptable to God. We cannot be deceived by pastors and different teachers. And this is what scripture is telling us. Don't be deceived. So I want to go over these 20 signs. I'm going to just go through the list. These are things that we all have at one point been guilty of some of these things. But if more of these things, these symptoms apply to you, you're in danger. And so I would encourage you to just seek God for salvation. He don't want to see nobody perish. He's just saying, look, wake up. You know, he loves us enough to have a conversation like this. He loves us enough to have Neil make a talk about this. And for you to listen to it and say, you know what, I ain't right with God. I'm not. Even if you are born again, you know it. Have you been examining yourself? Are you still in the faith? Do you still trust God? Are you still following God? Are you practicing sin on the side while you're operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? You can do both, as the scriptures teach right here. So we got to examine ourselves. So here we go. Some of these are more obvious than others. Number one, you don't believe there's anything seriously wrong with your soul. You think you're a good person. Anybody like that, I would say, is not even born again. Because the first thing you realize is sin is on you once you get saved. Oh, my God. You see your soul for what it is. Oh, my God. To this day, I still see my soul. And I'm a hot mess. I'm not depressed about it because I know God's going to fix it. But if you don't even understand, now I'm not talking about, I made mistakes in my life. You need to see the condition of your soul. If you don't think nothing wrong with you, and like I said, a lot of people think they're good people. Well, I'm not a murderer. I haven't committed. Those are not the standards God is holding you to. Not the standards of the world, the laws of mankind in the world. He's not holding you to that. He's holding you to his righteous standard, which is Christ, looking like Christ Jesus. Do you look like that? No, I really got a lot of lying in my soul. Okay, I got some deception. I got some arrogance there. Okay. Now you're getting it. Now you understand that you don't measure up to God. God is not comparing you to your neighbor. Because we can all find somebody that's worse than us and say, yeah, I'm a better person than that. And that makes me all right. So number one, you don't believe anything seriously wrong with your soul. You think you're a good person. That's number one. You're probably not born again if you got that. Number two, you hold to the Calvinist belief system despite biblical evidence that it's false. Now, I think a lot of us, if you were raised Baptist, believed that initially. I was taught that. I believed it initially, and then I came out of it. The Lord told me that ain't true. And that's why I used that scripture earlier about Jesus telling people, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and they got the Spirit of God, they cast out demons, they prophesying it, they're working miracles, yet they were rejected. Calvinism teaches that you once saved, always saved. Now, once you come up against somebody like myself or somebody else who showed you in scripture that is not what the Bible teaches. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. Once you come across that information, yet you reject it and say, nah, I'm going to hold on to it, you're probably not born again. Because you want to hold on to sin. That's really what you're doing. You want to be able to sin and still be accepted by God. And so you believe this idea that you're once saved, always saved. You're locked in for life. God's going to accept you no matter what. I can fall in and out of sin. It's all right. Because God loves me. Everything's cool. His blood shed. I'm fine with God. I can't lose it. You really don't want to overcome sin. You don't want to submit to God. And you want to live life your way while believing you are all right with God. So you hold on to this false doctrine, which is a doctrine of demons. And you say to yourself, I'm all right with God. If you believe that, you're probably not even born again. You're a sinner who got religion, who didn't want to give up sin, and gravitated to a doctrine of demon that made you feel good. Number three, you don't respect God. Proverbs say the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. Fear means to respect God. And the King James used fear, it just means respect. Do you value what God says in his word? Do you value his morality, his character? A lot of people don't. It's clearly you don't, you're not born again. And you can see that through your lifestyle. Number four, you rarely accept full blame for your sin. You refuse to receive correction from people. People like that are proud. They don't have the nature of God in them. And when they consistently like this, where they cannot accept their error, they're probably not born again. Because we talked about confession in the last talk about being walking in the light and saying, look, I did this wrong thing. I'm putting it before you, God. And if I sin against somebody, I'm going to them and say, I'm sorry what I did to you. It was wrong. I was in error. I'm sorry. Whatever I can do to make that up. But if you can't be that way, I've been amongst a lot of people like that, you're probably not born again. And this goes in line with the second point. You refuse to repent and apologize when you hurt people. So it goes right along with it. Some people just refuse to do it. I'm not saying I did any wrong thing to that person. I'm not doing it. You're not born again. So if you can't do that to a person, you surely can't go to God and say, I sinned against you, God. Because every time you sin against a person, you sin against God. You can't confess that, or you're probably not born again. You're a child of Satan who hates God. That's what that boils down to. Number six, you have secret sin. So some people say, you know what, I'm going to just keep this. I'm going to keep doing this, even though it's wrong. I'm going to keep it secret. No, you ain't a child of God because you still like sin and you hiding it. At least say, you know what, this is something I'm struggling with, God. I'm putting this before you. I don't want to do this. But some people say, no, I'm going to just keep doing it. Secret, I'm going to keep it a secret as best I can. You're not a child of God because you still like sin. You still harboring sin. It's okay to struggle with it. You're trying to overcome it. But to hide it and to keep it a secret, you're not a child of God. Number eight, Bible study and prayer is a chore for you. God, I got to read the Bible again. How much does God want from me today? Okay, I gave him an hour of Bible study time. What more did he want? I prayed for 5 minutes today. What else does he want? Prayer and Bible study are relational activities with your Father. But see, because God ain't your Father, you don't want to do that. You a child of Satan. Satan is not concerned with you studying the Bible and praying. A child of Satan is not concerned with studying the Bible and praying to a God that is not their God. So if you have a problem with the Bible and prayer, you ain't a child of God. And you got a bunch of people who will make this into a ritual. I put in 10 minutes in the Bible study. I put in 10 minutes in prayer. I'm all right with God. You didn't relate to God. You didn't connect to God through that. That's a ritual for you. It's a chore for you. You did your chores. You checked that off the box. You say, I'm all right with God. You're not born again. That's all I'm saying with that. There's another indication of that. Here's number nine. The Bible is solely a book of knowledge and not a book of moral transformation. Some people love the Bible. They love talking about the Bible. But they never deal with the parts that deal with changing their character, becoming humble and getting rid of pride and arrogance. They love to dig into the scripture where they talk about Melchizedek and who was he and what's going to happen in the end times and different parts of scripture that deal with deep knowledge about things, but never deal with the internal transformation of mankind. You don't want to deal with that. The Bible is a literature for you. It's something to study like some history book or some kind of a novel from college, where they got you reading some novel from college and you need to break that down. That's all you're looking at the Bible as. If you're doing that and not looking at it as a letter from your Father, giving you instructions on how to be right with him and have an eternal relationship with him, you ain't a child of God. The Bible can't be literature to you that you're just reading for enjoyment. Number 10, you don't believe the Bible was inspired by God or that is inerrant. You believe the Bible has errors in it. You believe the Bible is contradictory. You don't believe it's inspired by God. You think it's written by men. And when you get down to some people and you get, hey, man, what do you really believe? They'll say something like that. If you don't believe that God inspired the word of God, that that's his book, that it's infallible, that it is non-contradictory, then you are probably not a child of God. Because that's what he gave to men to give them instruction on how to connect with him. So how is it that you don't think that's even worth the study and time to really, or the value that to put into it to say that this is something that God gave us. Number 11, all your prayers are self-centered. They're desires that don't align with God's will, and you think God is a genie. He's just somebody up in heaven just giving you whatever you want. And I've seen people, every time something good happens, oh, God bless me. They are sinning, foul person, but as soon as they get something, God bless me today, you know? He's giving me desires of my heart. And a lot of stuff is just their own pursuits that they got for themselves, and they put God's name on it. Or, like I said, people will pray consistently, God, give me this, God, give me that. They don't want to pray, God, change my heart to be more like you. No, give me this, give me that, give me a bigger house, give me a man. Some women so focused on man but don't want to be changed into a woman to God. They're not even calibrated to get a good man. Focus on God changing your heart, and then you can pray for a husband. Or just focus on that, and God will send you a husband. They so focused on that and not change me to be somebody that would want to be with me. You see? But this is, we have these selfish prayers. And I say we because we all do it every now and then. But if this is consistent with you, that you're not praying that you be transformed into the image of Christ, that he transform and be sincere. I mean, some people will throw that stuff out in the Bible study. Just change me, Lord, I want to be. But you ain't really trying to go through the work. You don't really want to be like God, you know. But it's just something nice and spiritual to say. But if you're sincere about that, then that's an indication you might be a child of God. But my point here is that consistent prayers that's self-centered, that's not regarding the will of God, it ain't about God, it's all about you. You may be a child of Satan. Number 12, you have more worldly friends than your godly ones, and the world loves you. The Bible says those who are friends with the world are enemies of God. If you got more worldly friend, people that kick it with you and ain't got no problem with you, you might be a child of Satan. You shouldn't be able to fit in with them. They wouldn't like you if you was really a child of God. And as you grow in maturity, you'll find that the world does not like you. Random people that don't even know you will not like you. And what is this? It's the spirit of God in you versus the spirit of Satan that's in them. This is natural. But if you are accepted by the world and liked by the world, and there is no backlash from you just being present, there's a problem there. And you need to consider whether or not you're hiding Christ, if you're really born again, or if you're actually a child of God to begin with, because you might just be one of them with religion making you think that you're separate from the world. You can't be comfortable with the world. I see too many fake Christians that's comfortable with the world. Number 13, you lie, steal, cheat, manipulate, fornicate, covet, disrespect people. You practice sin without conviction. You practice sin without conviction. You practice sin without conviction. Doesn't bother you. You don't lose any sleep about it. Whether or not somebody's going to catch you or not, you're probably not a child of God. Number 14, you believe your good works and law keeping will save you. A lot of black Hebrew Israelites are caught up in the law. They think, if I can just pull out the Ten Commandments and do those, or the Mosaic, or whatever they're trying to perform for God. If you're caught up on that, you may not be a child of God, because we're not under the old covenant anymore. We're in a new covenant that gives us the spirit of God, that gives us power to keep the laws. The power of God will do that. If you're trying to do that in your flesh, and if you think that, you know, good works, I just, you know, signed up to help at a local soup kitchen. I give to the poor when I see them. I just sent some water over to Haiti. People will connect their works to their somehow connection with God and say that that makes me right with God. No, it doesn't. And that shows that you have a flawed understanding of the gospel and what God came to do. Works don't fix nothing. Your internal soul is what he's trying to clean out. You can't do a bunch of good stuff and expect that God doesn't bring you in like that. He said your works are like filthy rags to him. What's important to him is your character being righteous, being transformed into the image of Christ, looking like Christ. That's what's important to him, because he's going to kick it with you in fellowship before all eternity. That's what his goal is, to have additional sons and daughters to play with his son Jesus, if he's going to make it that simple. I mean, it's a family affair that he's trying to build, and you can't be in there if you wicked. So your good works don't fix nothing. Your changed heart is what makes you acceptable to God. Number 15, you believe you can continue in the practice and still go to heaven. Kind of already talked about that one. Number 16, you continue to deny Christ before men. He said, if you do that, I'm going to deny you before to the Father. So you got a gun to your head, or you're in the midst of a bunch of fake Christians and they're telling you that it's okay to sin and you stand up for Christ, you're probably a child of God. But if you want to get scared and you want their approval, and you want to be accepted by them, and you stay quiet, you're probably a child of Satan. When you fitting in with them, look, you're probably a child of Satan. Stop. Man up, woman up. Look, I mean, y'all wrong for that. And you're going to get hit with persecution. But that's how it goes. That's part of being a child of God. But those who want to run from discomfort, persecution, they don't feel that they need to deal with that. That's not a part of what they supposed to accept. You know, they supposed to have their best life. Now, I'm not with all that persecution. You're probably not a child of God. And when they say you need to get this mark of this beast and stamp this on your forehead, you're going to do it to fit in and not to be against the system and against the crowd. You all about the people being integrated, not standing up for Christ and being singled out. You don't want that. So you're probably not a child of God. Number 17, you have trouble understanding spiritual concepts. Now, early on, everybody does. But as the Spirit flows through you, you're able to understand what he's teaching you. Okay, so, but when I come across these so-called scholars who can't understand basic kingdom principles, the Bible says the spiritual things are foolishness to the men who are perishing, who don't have the Spirit of God. So, when you're talking to somebody and they can't get that, yet they seem to be intelligent enough to hold on to that, it's a clear indication they're not born again. They don't have the Spirit of God in them to understand what God is saying in the Spirit. So this is kind of more so for people who are dealing with people who are not born again and they can't get basic concepts. They can't accept basic scriptures because they can't understand spiritual things because God hasn't given them the Spirit to understand it. So number 18, you're just not confident that you're a child of God. Scripture says that the Spirit of God testifies that you are a child of God. We all struggle with that every now and then, early on maybe. I know I did because I was dealing with a lot of persecution and I was angry and I was this and I was that. And I began to question my salvation. But that was the great thing because that's what the Bible says. Examine yourself to see if you have the faith. However, if you're always feeling like you're not a child of God, you have to get to a place where you are confident in that. But if you're not, because I've had people email me and they consistently tell me, you know, I just don't feel like I'm a child of God. And we go through scriptures and I ask them questions to see. And later on, I find that they're not. But it's kind of like they don't want to be a child of Satan. They don't want to be labeled as that. They want to have that label of I'm right with God. But at the same time, they have not made the decision to really be right with God. So the Spirit of God is pricking them because he goes into the world and he convicts men of sin. And he tells them, hey, you ain't right with God. But yet they don't want to change, but they still want the title of I'm a child of God. They never confident. You got to get to a place where you're confident. I'm a child of God. I've been born again. If you don't feel like that, ask God for confirmation and, you know, go forward from there. Number 19, you label people who follow the Bible and who live a holy life and righteous life as radical. I've heard this early on when I was dealing with the false church. They kept calling my lifestyle radical Christianity. You're a radical Christian. You're a radical, as if I was some next level type of Christian or a next level follower of God. No, this is real Christianity. It's raw. It's against the world. It's not anything like the world. And anytime they begin to belittle you because you say you're going to stay pure before marriage. If you hanging around saints that's belittling you, those saints are not children of God. If you are a so-called child of God and you belittle people who are living righteous, you know it, you're not a child of God. What you mad at them for? Why are you dogging them for? You acting like the world. Maybe you are of the world. Maybe you are a child of Satan. Because you hating on sister so-and-so for remaining a virgin before marriage. Or brother so-and-so for remaining the virgin before marriage. These are the things that give you away. Number 20. You have no growth after umpteen years being in so-called faith. And you consistently have an excuse for your sin every time. You often mention your past accomplishments, but never have any future or recent accomplishments and growth in the Lord. I've seen people do this a lot. They have this prodigal son. Oh, yeah, you know, I was in sin. I got baptized when I was 13 years old. My mother had me walk down the aisle. And then after that, I got into the world, you know, had a few babies out of wedlock, drinking and smoking, this, that, and the other. And then I came back to God when I was 35. And, you know, I've been with him ever since, you know, I came back and you look at their life, they're still doing the same thing. It's just not as prominent in sin as they were before. And they really haven't repented. They're just tired of the lifestyle of sin, because sin will tax you and make you feel bad. And just really, and a lot of people don't want that. So they go back to church, but they're really not in Christ. And they're still in sin. And the only triumph they have is some stuff from way back in 20 years ago. I don't do that no more. What about what did God do recently for you? You know? And they don't, it's no growth. And the reason why there's no growth, because they're not in Christ. Maybe they're born again, maybe they're not. But when you don't see consistent growth, you should be able to have something that, you know, God did this for me last month. He changed my mind on this last month. I'm better now. I don't do this anymore. And I want to talk about things that are moral character-based things. Because a lot of people want to say, I don't smoke no more. I'm not fornicating no more. But I want to talk about, are you humble now? Are you more honest now? Are you more faithful to God now? No, he's still arrogant. He's still telling lies. He's still manipulative. Well, you ain't grown. Don't tell me about you don't cheat on your wife no more. you don't fornicate no more. A lot of people don't want to fornicate. They rather have a marriage or whatever. A lot of women in particular, they practice harlotry or whoredoms, and they get married and that's what they wanted. And they use that as a, I don't do that no more. I did that 20 years ago and I'm not with that no more. But they still today, they still lying, still cheating. If there's no real growth as far as towards character of Christ, then there's an indication that you may not be a child of God and you may be a child of Satan. A lot of people don't like that term. I'm a child of Satan. That's just really dark. I'm not practicing witchcraft in the basement, cutting animals open and drinking blood. I'm not. Anybody that is not a child of God is a child of Satan by default, because you have his nature. When the first man sinned, he got the nature of Satan in him. Everybody by default is spiritually dead if they've not been born again. And you are moved by the spirit of this world, and that spirit is Satan himself. So that's your father. It's not like there's an in-between where there's people that's not with God, but they're not with Satan. No, you're either with God or you're with Satan, one of the two. You're either a child of God or a child of Satan. That's how it works. So now, if you've been through this list and you've been convicted, it's all right. God loves you. He loves you enough that he had you hear this message. And now you can go to him and confess your sins and begin to repent and to have him clean out your soul. You've heard enough about what he desires from you. He wants you to look like his son. That's what he wants. That's why he died. His blood is now available for you to wash away your sin. You ain't got to kill a goat and perform some sacrifice. His blood takes care of all that. And it doesn't cover the sin. It washes it away. So now you can say, man, that sin is like gone. God ain't thinking about it no more. He's forgot about it. He's washed away. He's cleansed you and forgave you. So you don't need to bring it up to yourself either. So when the Satan comes to you talking about, you know, remember what you did back? No, it's under the blood. It's washed away. It's gone. Okay. God wants to clean you up. He'll save you. All you got to do is be humble, honest, and trust in him that he will. You know, his desire is that no one perish, but all come into repentance. He's a good God. He's trying to save everybody. He knows everybody ain't coming, but he's trying to save you. And hopefully, if you've seen this message, you know, and you've realized that your pastor has been lying to you. Because if you've been in church all your life and you thought you were a child of God, yet you fall into a lot of these points here, these 20 points I put out today, it's a clear indication you stopped going to that church. You need to go home, open your Bible for yourself, and start listening to some proper teachings that will help you get closer to God. And ask God to do, you know, to see you to who you need to listen to. So with that being said, be born again, repent of your sins, examine yourself continually, even if you're a child of God. You know you are. You're confident in that. Examine yourself from time to time. That's what Bible teaches us. Examine yourself. Check yourself. Know that the Spirit of God is in you, and from there you'll be successful.
Thank you.